Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Yes, 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 yes. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. You are live on Revive right now. It's another winning Wednesday here on Revive. And we on your airways from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every Wednesday. So make sure you spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to tune in. You can go directly to tune in. You can either download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit Meet Your Girl PLC live each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And make sure you guys go follow us right now on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_PLC. Once again, that's Revive_PLC. And we cannot forget about the newsletter, man. We need you guys to go subscribe to that newsletter. It's about to come out. It's October 25th. Today is October 25th. We are dropping the November newsletter in less than a week. So make sure you guys go follow that newsletter right now. Go follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and subscribe to that newsletter so you can stay in the loop with everything that we're doing here right now in Revive. Right now in Revive. Make sure you guys go subscribe to that newsletter. I got your girl Truha back in the studio with me. She off her hiatus. She was on a hiatus because she's pursuing her master's degree in social work. So she be working all hard or whatever. Or whatever. Definitely going to put that or whatever. But Truha, how you feeling today, man? You back in the studio. We back in the Revive studio here. Time for the awakening. How you feeling today?
I feel amazing. I'm just blessed and happy to be here. And I'm still on a high from my Earth Day birthday. Shout out to 1023. It was an amazing, amazing day. And I'm just thankful. I'm ready to see what this new year has for me. But to be back in the Revive studio, I'm just excited. I'm excited for the show. We got some big things popping, little things popping over here.
Man, we got some real juice about to be popping today, man. We got your girl, Anya Lachelle, coming on the Revive platform today, man. She going to be dropping some gems, man. She got some gossip for the people, and she going to put that news out there. I love what she's doing with her platform. That's why I invited her onto the Revive platform. I'm like, yo, we need to get that news that for the culture. We need to get that news for the culture over here on Revive right now. So we can stay alive. And Anya was like, you know what, I'm pulling up. I'm like, yo, Anya, you gotta come through, man. When she gonna bring up today, everybody gonna be like, word, I did not know that. So definitely she about to speak that actual factuals here on Revive. But you were speaking on birthdays, yo, that just actually rung a bell in my head. It's something that has been bothering me for a very long time, and I gotta get it off my chest. Yo, if you're over, well, I want you to call in too. Before I get into this message, I need you guys to give us a call here on Revive. 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Go ahead and jump into this conversation today. But what I was about to say though, Truheart, because as you speak about your birthday, and once again, happy birthday to you. You are now the age of 25 years old. You are a quarter of a century. I hope you turn up all year. Wish you many, many, many blessings. But no, but for real though, when it comes to birthdays, It's now starting to get annoying. If you are 25 and older, please hold your feelings. Like, please hold your feelings. No one, like, the thing about it is, and I don't want to sound rude at all. I really don't want to sound rude. I don't want to sound shady, any of that. But if you're over the age of 25, like, hold your feelings. How are you going to be upset because I cannot make it to your birthday? Or how are you going to be upset because I text you and I didn't call you? Like, these are feelings that you should not have 25 and over. In my opinion, you shouldn't even have them past 21. Like, for example, your friends because they want a table at a club, right? You know what I mean? They want to be all fancy and exclusive. So they decide that they want to get a table at a club, but they can't afford the table by themselves. So they invite other people to join them for their birthday to celebrate it, right? Which is cool. You want to celebrate with your loved ones. It's your birthday. It's the day that you were born. Completely understand. But you can't expect me to spend $50, $60+, whatever it may be, for you to have a table in a section on your birthday. That cannot be an expectation of me. It should be something that's like, if you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. I completely understand. We're at an age when most people don't have it, where we're being responsible adults. So some people don't have, you know, $50+, $60+ to spend on the table. So it really irritates me when, you know, your friends get upset because, you know, you can't celebrate their birthday the way that they would like you to celebrate their birthday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just don't make no sense, Truha. And how you feel about it? How you feel about it, Truha? Because I can really go on and on. How you feel about this? Because it's like, yo, you hit me up and then you get mad because I text you. How you gonna get mad because I text you? You don't know what kind of day I'm having, what I'm going through. The fact that I stopped, took time out of my day to be like, yo, let me make sure that I send this love. Let me make sure that I send this message so they know that I love them on their birthday. You know, it's different ways you can show love. You don't have to always be, or it doesn't always have to be a tangible item in order to show love on someone's birthday. Like, we have to get over this, especially if you're my friend since we're like 13 and 12. Like, you can't continue to expect me to do the same thing over and over and over again each year. Like, you have to understand that there's growth in the process that we have had in our lifespan since our birthdays are continuously coming each and every year. You know what I mean? That we're blessed to see another year. What about you, Truha? How you feel? Your birthday just passed. Were you upset when, you know, your friends dropped out, or your friends couldn't come, or your friends couldn't make any, you know, event that you planned for your birthday? Do you think that that is something that people our age, or people our age or above, or people even younger than us, should be upset about if someone couldn't join them on their birthday?
I do, but I say that with a very, very, I say it with a very, very, like, it's basically like as small as like a salt grain, because at the end of the day, I am inviting you to my birthday celebration because obviously you are an important person in my life, whether you're a friend or family. So if I took the time out to invite you, I understand that things happen. I understand that everybody doesn't necessarily have the financial ability or even the time to come out and celebrate. But what I do like is communication. So if you are unable to make it, just let me know. Am I going to feel some type of way initially? Yes. But am I going to let that stop my celebration? No, not at all. And I think that people oftentimes, at least I know myself, I have expectations. Oh, you my ride or die, da, da, da. I know you're going to be there. But I also, just like you said, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your, you know, your situation is looking like. And just because I want to celebrate with you because I love you, I do have to be understanding of your situation. But in regards to expectations, no. I think that it's okay to have expectations. I think that it's okay to, you know, make a plan and put the plan out there. Now, whoever gravitates towards the plan is whoever gravitates towards it. But I want to know what you guys are thinking. So call in at 215-490-9832. And because I can go on because I just had a birthday. So
no, but I want you to talk about your eye experiences. You know what I mean? You just had a birthday. That's my point of posing this question, because you're someone who did get upset when your friends dropped out. You are someone who, you know, were upset when someone couldn't make it, or someone didn't. Well, I'm not necessarily going to say when someone didn't have it, but when someone couldn't make it, you were upset. So, like, I just want to know, like, by us being the age that we are, like, how, and then you have to understand that we keep doing the same things over and over again. Like, if we went to a club on your 25th birthday, we went to a club on your 21st birthday, we went to a club on your 22nd birthday, you can't expect me to show up at the club each and every time. Like, find something new, do a different adventure, you know, have a different kind of birthday scene. If you continuously do the same thing, you can't expect me to continue to pop up each and every time. I already know how it's going to happen. We're going to get dressed. We're going to take 3 hours to get dressed. how Beyonce said, like, we get all dressed up and we don't even make it to the club. You know what I mean? Picture a room of like 10 to 12 plus women trying to get dressed for a club. We don't even get to the club in enough time, where we only sit in the section for what? The last 2.5 hours of the club. We pay all this money to get in the club. Don't even get there in enough time. Two hours in the club. Then, you know what I'm saying? We turned up, we intoxicated, whatever it may be. And then we just go home. Like, I don't see the whole point in it. Yeah, it's fun for the time, but it's not like, oh, yo, I just spent $60 to have a good time and I'm going to do it again next year and I'm going to do it again next year. Like, it has to be a time when you just like, you know what? I don't expect this anymore. Like, I shouldn't expect this from someone when they did it with me 3 years in a row. If I did it with you 3 years in a row and the fifth, you know, fourth, you can't be upset. It's just, I just don't understand why you're upset.
I don't think you can tell somebody how to feel, though. Like, at the end of the day, if I invited you, that means I want you here. Regardless of whether you can make it or regardless of the reason why you can't make it, I'm going to be understanding of that. But just for my eye experience, I had a birthday brunch, and not everybody could make it. And that was understandable. Was I initially like, dang, I'm so broken down, this, that, and the third? No, I looked at all the factors and I said, okay. But oftentimes when I do have events, whether they're for me personally or professionally, I always think that who's going to be there and who does show up is meant to be there. And I ended up having a fabulous, fabulous time. So I think that it's not something that we, as birthday celebrators, I don't think that that's something that we should harp on. But I don't think that it's wrong for having an expectation or saying, hey, I want to do this, or hey, I want to do that. Because, I mean, who's to say if you want to go hiking through the Green Mountains of PA and you invite all your friends and they're not really down with the program, they might say, oh no, Tim, I can't, or oh no, POC, I can't make it. So you really just have to understand that everybody likes celebrating their milestone a different way. So I don't think you can say like, oh my gosh, we did that already. Well, maybe that's just like, that's just the person that likes to turn up, or that's just the person that, you know, likes to do these particular things or brings them joy. Because you never know if they went out all year, because they've been working, they've been grinding, they've been doing all these different things. So I would just say that let people have their birthday, let them celebrate the way that they want to celebrate, and let them be great. Essentially, let them be great. And if you send them love and you show them love in a different way, at least you still show them love. So you don't got to go to the club and shake your little booty. You can go and say, you know what? I wanted to present you with this gift because it meant a lot to me.
I mean, I feel you. I feel you. It is. It's up to, you know, whoever prerogative it is at that time. Like, that's just truly what it is. But you cannot force it, and you cannot love me less. And it does not mean that I love you less because that I just decided to not show up to your birthday this year. And it's something that I've been thinking for a very long time. I'm like, yo, people really get upset when you don't show up for their birthdays. Like, you cannot expect that. You honestly, truly cannot. It cannot be an expectation. I do understand what you're saying. I mean, what you said when you said that you cannot tell people how to feel. Completely understand that. Everyone's going to have their own perspectives, their own opinions, all that. You know what I mean? That's cool. But you cannot be upset. Like, you just cannot be upset.
How you gonna say you can't tell people how to feel, but then you gonna say you can't be upset?
No, I'm saying I understand. My exact words was, I said I understand what you said by saying that you cannot tell people how to feel, but I'm saying that you cannot be upset. Like, I just don't get it. Like, you're grown. Like, how are you upset at me because I didn't show up? Like, that's just nah, just not with that all the way. And if you feel, you know, some kind of different, or if you feel like you feeling with True Heart Thinking, please give us a call, because I definitely want to know what you guys are thinking. We about to put that question out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram right now, because I need to know how the people feeling, because this is something that is like ongoing, especially, you know, as we're getting older. People really have feelings. People really lose friendships because of birthdays and people not showing up and, you know, doing what they want to do or celebrating how they want to celebrate on their birthday. So definitely give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Or you can hit us up Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We just posed that question for you guys at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC.
But are you consistently not showing up? That's just a question that popped in my head. Like, am I consistently inviting you to things and you keep swerving and ducking and saying no, 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 no? Because then you're going to get upset when I don't invite you to places. So I think it's just more so that I don't think that it's a testament to the friendship, but another testament to friendship is how you're communicating. Because if you just don't show up and I invited you and you just go ghost and I don't hear from you until like my next birthday, you just saying, oh, happy birthday or different things like that. So you got to ask yourself, like, are you consistently showing up for this person? And just communicate, just communicate with one another. I think communication can really just honestly avoid all these different problems that we're having around birthdays, Hanukkah, Rosh Hashanah, like all those things. Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm with you, and shout out to October's very own Drake. Drake had the best line ever. He said, my circle just turned into a period. Like, and when that literally resonates in my mind over and over and over again, because as you get older, your circle gets smaller. So you used to have 100 people reach out to you. You used to have 50 people reach out to you. You used to have 20 people reach out to you. It went from 10 to 5 to 2 real quick. It gets like that through age. It gets like that through time. And I think that we get lost. Like, we get lost, especially us as millennials, and this is just my opinion. If you have a different opinion, definitely I want to hear it from you. But if, like, as millennials, we get lost because we have social media. So we expect now, if it's not literally, people expect a birthday post, a birthday call, a birthday text, a birthday gift, like a birthday show up, show out. Like, it's so many different things that us as millennials, super air quote, really do expect. And it's like, yo, get a grip. Like, it's your birthday. Why are you expecting so much out of me on your birthday? You need to be celebrating your life. You need to be happy for your life. You need to be happy that you are blessed to see another life around another lap around the universe. Like, that is on you. So my question is just like, how can you once again get upset? And I do understand what you're saying. Like, are you always ducking and dodging different things? Then yes, that does play, you know, a different point, that plays a different point into what I'm saying. But I'm talking specifically about birthdays. Like, people really get upset about birthdays. Like, really get upset.
And I think oftentimes that myself, I expect so much from other people, and it's not unrealistic expectations, but I expect so much from other people because I'm willing to give so much to them. And I think that when you talk about expectations, you talk about birthday or just celebrations in general, that you expect that this person is going to do this, because that's what you're willing to give them. So it's just kind of like you have to assess yourself. But I do agree with you in a sense where you're like, your birthday is your birthday. And one monkey don't stop no show. So if your best friend can't come out and, you know, turn up with you, or your best friend can't come to your brunch, or your best friend can't come to your dinner, one monkey don't stop no show. Not calling your best friend a monkey, but at the end of the day, it's your birthday is about you and you accomplishing that milestone and entering that new year of greatness.
And then another thing, honestly, what we lose in our 20s too, as I'm thinking about this, like, and as you just reiterated what I said, your birthday is your birthday, yo, like, we try to do so much on our birthdays that we even forget to celebrate the birthday. We literally run ragged all day to get dressed, get makeup, get to the place on time, make sure everything is coordinated, make sure everyone is here, make sure everyone is on time. Oh, somebody's late. We can't leave for the club until they get here. Oh, we gotta wait for this. Oh, we gotta wait for that. That you do all of that. Now you're irritated. Now you're upset. Now you're drinking because you're mad, not because you're celebrating. Like, it's so much that goes on throughout that process of you trying to get 1,000 other people to help you celebrate that you even forget to celebrate yourself. You even forget that today is your birthday. You should be happy. You should be smiling. You shouldn't be crying. Like I know you know what I'm coming from. Like, I know you've been there before when your friend got so upset that things were just not working out for them on their particular birthday, how they planned, that they just forgot to celebrate the birthday.
You know what? Honestly, and I've been there. Like, I just went to my friend's birthday dinner, and she just called me because she was... That's a whole different story I was about to say. This is why I'm never on time for things, because then everybody else want to be late. But she was calling and just calling to apologize. And I honestly had to let her know that it's okay. Like, we're here and we'll be here when you get here. And I had to remind her, it's your day. Girl, thank God that you made it here. Thank God that you made it another year. Thank God you're going the highway. So you need to stay focused and just get here safely. So oftentimes you just got to have that real friend to just check in and say, look, it's about you. But once again, if you say you're going to have a start time, try to be there closer to the start time. But yeah, it's really all about you on your day. And not saying that you have to be negative towards other people, but just surround yourself with a real circle that will allow you to have your day, be at peace, and just have an ultimate good time and celebrate.
And I feel you on that. And I'm that real friend. So if you need a real friend, hit your girl POC up right now. My number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. I really want to know how you guys feel about this. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. After our commercial break, we'll be coming up with our next guest very, very shortly. So definitely stay tuned to Revive. Spread the word. Spread the message. Right now, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. But I really got to get into this American Airlines, y'all. Did you read that article that came out today about the NAACP going in on the American Airlines? And I feel some type of way because I had two bad experiences about American Airlines myself. So I definitely want to tap into that a little bit. But we do got to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we'll be back on Revive with your girl POC. Stay tuned, stay tuned.
I just like the sound.
See any changing or suspicious spots? It's your skin, and it's important. If you're a man over 50, you're in the group most likely to develop skin cancer, including melanoma, the cancer that kills one person every hour. When detected early, skin cancer is highly treatable. Check yourself out and find someone else to help. Learn more about what to look for at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
It's been a problem throughout the ages. People think the issue has lessened, but they are simply choosing to turn a blind eye to the children that are wasting away, choosing not to see the crisis in their midst that is anything but improving. Youth homelessness in the United States is currently at an all-time high. 1 in 30 American children live in shelters, on the street, or bounce between foster homes. And though the percent of youth without a home has steadily increased over the past 30 years, funding for the organizations that help those children is decreasing. One of the consequences that has arisen because of these budget cuts is turning away youth from shelters due to overcrowding and lack of resources. Imagine a child brave enough to ask for help and being forced to turn him back on the streets. That child, now forced to fend for himself, might go on to develop chronic health problems or feel the effects of malnutrition, and legislators want to chalk it up to an issue of money. Homeless children, due to their living conditions, are much more likely to experience risks to their physical health than housed children. For example, in homeless children, the infectious disease rates are higher, the likelihood of contracting a sexually transmitted disease is increased, and chronic health problems are common. Malnutrition is another widespread issue among the homeless youth, and they are 6 times more likely to have stunted growth and 7 times more likely to contract anemia because of it. To bring the issues full circle, the scarcity of food can further impact their lives, even after the period of homelessness is over, because it can lead to food insecurities that may remain for years. So, not only does the homeless child suffer from physical strain, but psychological upheaval as well. These children who experience horrors beyond belief are at great risk for psychological trauma, learning impairments, and cognitive delay. For example, unaccompanied youth are more likely to suffer from mental disorders such as disruptive behavior disorders, social phobia, and major depression. than those with a stable living environment due to their children's lack of access to resources, increased lead exposure, and the detrimental effects of chronic stress. We as humans must not overlook the rising number of American youth that suffer due to their lack of stable housing and should allocate funding and resources to help those in need. The rising number of children who have experienced the horrors of homelessness and who have felt its psychological effects deserve a chance to improve their lives and their well-being.
Yes, we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in. You can download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hear me, girl, your girl PLC, live on the airways from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday. And you cannot forget about Sunday. We go live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned to meet your girl PLC live on Revive each and every Wednesday and Sunday here on timeforanawakening.com/revive. And you can definitely follow us right now on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. We went ahead and posted the question of the day on all three sites. So we want to know what you guys are thinking. Why do people still get angry or upset when their friends or family members cannot show up to their birthday celebration? Like, why are people still stuck on this? This is something that people should be over by now. But before we get into that question, once again, we are going to go ahead and introduce our first guest here on Revive. I'm really excited to be speaking with this young queen, man. She's out here doing her thing. Y'all, Truar, who we have coming up on the Revive platform?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Anya Lachelle. Anya is a YouTube personality who gives hilarious yet insightful commentary on the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip. Anya began her YouTube journey in December of 2016 and has since been a guest host on the Los Angeles-based entertainment news show Holly Scoop, and works as a freelance host and correspondent for several media outlets in the city of Philadelphia. Anya also works as a producer for the number one news station in Philadelphia, 6ABC WPVI-TV. When she's not working or uploading YouTube videos, Anya loves crafting new TV show ideas, spending time with her family, and playing the guitar. Anya, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hi, thanks guys for having me.
Hey Anya, how you feeling today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm great, man. I'm excited to be speaking with you today. I already know you about to come with some juicy, juicy news for the people today, man. I love what you are doing with your platform. How did you actually get started with your platform? Like, how did this actually come about? Like, how did you just jump into it and say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my calling.
Yeah. So when I was in college, I knew that I wanted to be a reporter. Actually, my goal was to be a traditional news reporter, and that's how I ended up getting my internship with 6ABC, and then they ended up hiring me after my internship as a producer. And so while I was learning the behind-the-scenes aspect of television and media, I was also filming stand-ups, working on my reel, and realized that I didn't want to be a traditional news reporter while working at 6, and I knew that my passion was entertainment news, and so I kind of just created my YouTube channel to just put some stuff out there, and I've just been in love with it ever since.
That's amazing. That's like a dream for real. That's like a dream come true, just pursuing it. And when you went to school, what did you actually major when you were in school?
So I majored in communication studies. So I did study television and journalism while in school. So that's always been, television has always been a passion of mine, always. And so it's just amazing that I get to work in it today, but I still got goals that I'm working on, but it's been amazing.
So have you done any work outside of the city of Philadelphia? Has everything that you have done so far been in Philly? Have you got a chance to, you know, explore and hop into different cities to do your craft?
Yeah. So over the summer, I took a trip to LA. It was my first time out there. I've always wanted to go ever since I was a little girl. And so I kind of just went during my birthday and set up a bunch of networking meetings. And that's how I got to be a guest host on an entertainment news show called Holly Scoop. And their videos are featured on AOL.com, Yahoo, Daily Motion, as well as their YouTube channel. And so that was the only thing that I'd done outside of Philly. But definitely my goal is to move to LA and work.
How was that experience for you though? How was that experience for you in LA?
It was amazing. It was so surreal because that was like the first professional entertainment environment that I've been in. Like they had an official studio, they had an official crew, and it gave me the bug to go for it full time.
That's really dope. And do you feel like by you being a young African American woman, you know, in the game, do you see that as like a do you see the game being any kind of stereotypical or anything like that by you being young and you're being introduced, you know, to the game, which are, you know, just hopping right in there? Do you see any kind of stereotypes when you go to work or when you, you know, you try to get different interviews or when you try to get into different rooms to, you know, have a seat?
I definitely would say it is intimidating, especially because there's not a lot of us in that field. And so it is intimidating and it is scary. And I haven't, honestly, I'm not, you know, like my big toe is in the door. Like my foot isn't even in the door yet. Like entertainment news and doing it on a professional level. So I can't even speak. I mean, I'm sure that we as African American women face a lot of setbacks in this industry. And I haven't even faced all of those yet. But what I can say is I'm not going to let that scare me and I'm not going to let that stop me.
Yes.
So I know it's there, but I don't care because I'm not going to give up no matter what. I just gotta find a way to get over it.
I'm with it. I love your passion. I definitely hear it in your voice, man. So when you were in training in school, like when your school was, you know, preparing you for these different environments, when you get out to the real world, would you say that, you know, school prepared you or your hands-on experiences actually prepared you for, you know, what you're doing now?
School barely prepared me for what I'm doing now. I learned the gist of everything that I do now with my job at 6ABC. I learned that all in my internship program.
Awesome. I can vouch for that myself.
And so school did not prepare me for what I'm doing now, which is why I say, like, anyone who wants to pursue this and they are still in school, internships are the way to go because they're going to give you the hands-on experience that you need, and it could also lead to a job. You never know. So I say hands-on experience takes the cake for sure.
I'm with you. And you said that you learned from your internship. So were you in there like a sponge? Were you in there soaking up all the knowledge? Did you find yourself finding a mentor? How was the internship experience for you? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm the type of person, you give me an inch and I will take a mile. Mm-hmm, and I will do it in the most professional way possible. So my internship program, you know, Six is, it's a very competitive internship program, especially being the number one news station in the region.
Yes.
And so they don't baby you a lot. They kind of say, all right, here's what you're going to do. Now go do it. And so I did a lot of things on my own there. Like I created a social media proposal for one of their television shows. That was not a requirement in the internship. It was just an idea that I had and I did it. I worked long hours. I was in there for more days than I had to be. And I think that really stuck out to my supervisor which is why, like, when I got my job at Six, I didn't have to apply or interview for it. Like, they just brought me in because I graduated. I interned my last semester of school, so I graduated that same semester.
Okay.
So 3 months later, they offered me the job, and it was because of my work ethic. And I went in there probably knowing the least out of my intern group because, again, my school didn't prepare me for the things I was doing in my internship program. And a lot of other students, I was in there with three other students that semester in that department, and they knew by far, they knew so much more than me, I felt. And so I learned a lot on the job, and, you know, I just had good work ethic and good ideas. And so, yeah, I was like a sponge, but I soaked up everything, but I also tried to give back too. And I think they noticed that, and that's probably why they decided to hire me.
I love that, man. I love that. And I'm supporting you all the way. I already know you about to do your thing, definitely. But by you saying that, you know, you were headstrong, you had to learn for yourself, you had to, you know, pretty much do everything for yourself in order to get where you are right now. And I love that you did that, because you did not let, you know, the fact that you didn't know as much as other people set you back from anything. You went in there with your head held high and like, yo, I'm about to go take this. But my question to you is, like, you know how Jemele Hill was getting so much backlash by pretty much speaking up and speaking out about all the different things that's going on around, you know, the country right now. Do you see yourself ever being in that predicament, you know, feeling some type of way about the outside world, but, you know, you work at this place, you know, you work at ABC6, which is one of, like you just said, one of the largest stations in the region. So you guys hold a responsibility to, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say cater to the audience, but put out particular news. But would you ever feel as though that you would have to take anything out of yourself by not speaking up or speaking out? Would you ever feel as though that you would put yourself in a place where you could speak up and speak out on the platform that you have at your job?
So that's tricky because with my job, thankfully, you know, I'm not an on-air personality at Six. I'm just a producer behind the scenes. So okay. I have more freedom with my personal life and what I can say on my personal platforms. But just speaking back to, like, the Jemele Hill situation, that's why it's my goal, and I think it should be every person's goal once to be in this industry on camera. It should be your goal to create your own brand so that you don't have to cater to a big network, so that you can speak your mind and speak your truth and still make your money, you know?
Yes.
And so that's why I'm just trying to grow my own personal brand, so that whenever I do land a major job on camera, my brand will be big enough in itself where they can't tell me what to do. And I know that's going to take years. It's going to take years and years to get there. So, I mean, I still even find myself in my YouTube videos. It's like I give my opinion, don't get me wrong. But there's some things that I kind of tailor, and I don't say what I really want to say because my audience isn't what I want it to be yet. And so I'm just being conscious of everyone's emotions and feelings, trying not to offend that many people. So it's tricky.
I love how you said that many people, because it's hard, especially, you know, like,
yeah,
when you have
want to offend somebody,
yes,
no matter what. You know, it's just a matter of not offending the majority.
Especially when you have a large platform. You know, she's working on ESPN, so she's getting all different kind of backgrounds. She's getting all different kind of feedback from, you know, God knows who. So it's kind of hard to be your authentic self sometimes, because you have to watch what you say, you know, for the check, for the coins. And then you have to also, you know, watch what you say so you can still be respected in the community that you belong to. You know what I mean? So I think that plays a huge role, you know, for, you know, people who are in the entertainment industry who still have a conscious mind, and, you know, who still wants to be part of the, you know, the media environment as well. So, and you definitely sounded like LeVar Ball when you said, that's why you just got to go get your own brand. You cannot be out here on other people's brand doing what they're doing. Cause, you know, him with the Big Baller brand, he said, you know what, I'm not about to go, you know, cater to a Nike or cater to an Adidas. I'm about to go make my own shoe. I'm about to go make my own company. And he actually did. He was selling shoes for $350. So I don't think when you said it's going to take you a very, very long time to get there, I definitely don't think so. Because just look what you're doing with, you know, YouTube. You know, look what you're doing with YouTube. YouTube can actually create you some dollars that can help you get that platform. Look at Issa Rae. You know, I think you about to be the next Issa Rae. You ready?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you for those kind words.
Yes. You ready? Netflix is coming, girl. Netflix is coming. Make sure you hashtag Netflix tonight. Definitely. Netflix is coming.
I love it.
Yes, man. We're going to speak that into existence for you here on Revive. Definitely. But I do want to jump into some of that juicy gossip you have for us. Do you have like a tag that you say before you go into one of your, you know, one of your YouTube shows?
Yeah, so my segments, I have two segments on my YouTube channel, Shady Sips and then Quick Sips.
Okay.
So Shady Sips is where I talk about the celebrities who have been throwing major shade, whether it's at each other or whether they just did something that was super shady. And then Quick Sips is kind of like my recap or roundup of the entertainment news of the week. But at the end of each video, I always say you don't have to live in Hollywood to talk about it, but you don't have to be famous to be talked about. And so that's my tagline.
You got to say that one more time for the people.
You don't have to live in Hollywood to talk about it, but you don't have to be famous to be talked about.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm with you on that, man. I'm definitely with you on that. But you got to tell us how you came up with those two. You got to tell us how you came up with those two names.
The Shady Sips and Quick Sips?
Yes.
So Shady Sips, I can't say like I was in my room thinking of, oh, what do I want to call my segment? It kind of just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of my ideas are. They just will come to me. I could be in the middle of watching Insecure, for example, and an idea will just pop in my head. And then I just sort of like plan it out from that point on. So Shady Sips, it just popped in my head and it stuck with me. And I was like, I like this. Shady Sips. I can dig it.
I'm with it. And I'm sitting here looking at the word gossip, and I'm like, yo, sip is in the word gossip. Is that kind of something where it came from, or no? Am I just thinking way too hard?
No, girl, I wish I was thinking like that. Two and two together.
I'm a bet. I'm sitting here, I'm like, yo, did she just get clever on us real quick? I'm definitely with you on that one. Definitely.
I wish I could take credit for that one, but I can't.
Definitely. But let's go ahead and jump into which one you want to start with first. You want to start with the shady, or you want to start with the, what you want to start with?
Well, my last video was a Quick Sips video, that my most recent video, and it talked about Gabrielle Union. I don't know if you guys have heard Gabrielle Union. She's promoting her new book, We Are Going to Need More Wine. And so she actually went on Sway's radio show and revealed some intimate secrets about her
Did
sex
she?
Life that I don't think a lot of people knew.
Did she?
yes. I don't know how we can talk on here, what we can say, what we can't say.
Anya, go ahead and do your thing. Once again, you guys, we are tuned into Anya Lachelle right now. Give us a call right now on Revive 215-490-9832. She's about to get into some quick sip for us real quick. Go ahead and spill the juice. Spill the juice.
Yes. So on the show, Gabrielle said, I think two things she said that stuck out the most and had the internet acting a fool was when she revealed that she started masturbating at the age of 5. So let's just stop right there and break that down. So she started masturbating at the age of 5. How do you guys feel about that? Because for me, it's a little like we weren't playing Barbie dolls and hopscotch. She was in the bed humping a teddy bear at 5. I just don't know where that came from.
Yo, Anya, that's kind of wild, though. Honestly, truly, that's definitely kind of wild. 5 is a young age, but it's definitely like an experimental age, because that's when you like, I wouldn't necessarily say masturbation. That's like, you know, far-fetched. But I would say that's when you start playing with yourself. Like, for example, like little boys, you know, like your nephews or your cousins, you see them playing with their, because they don't know what it is yet. They don't know what it, and you're like, yo, what are you doing? Get your hand from down there, things like that. But I don't see that as masturbation. And then for, you know, a young girl, I cannot see that at 5 years old. Like I never seen like a young woman with her pants. I always seen like a little boy with his hands down his pants, because that's what he's just trying to experiment. But a little girl,
right.
I never seen that at 5 years old. That's kind of wild. And I had to know, like, did her parents not notice that she was, because I'm sure she wasn't sneaking, because she didn't know that she was doing something wrong. But, you know, so was her parents not noticing it? Was her parents not around? I know when I was 5, I was still like trying to like, Mom, can I sleep with you tonight? You know what I'm saying? So how you got that much freedom is at the age of 5 is kind of crazy. True. How you feeling? 5 years old, Gabrielle Union.
Honestly, I agree with you, POC. I think that it's okay to be curious, but I agree with Anya in the sense where I was trying to play with dolls and stuff, play house with my friends. So I wasn't thinking about exploring.
But no, Anya, before you jump in real quick, think about this. At 5, you're in kindergarten. Most people had their first kiss in kindergarten. What about that?
You know, that actually reminded me. I remember there was a time I was in kindergarten, and there was some little, and that's back when, or maybe it was even before kindergarten. Remember when you used to take naps
in preschool
and daycare on the cot?
Go ahead, tell us your story, Anya. Go ahead, tell us your story.
But yeah, so I actually now remember a time when I was trying to, you know, take a nap on the cot in preschool or whatever the case was, and this little boy across from me tried to touch me. And I remember, like, smacking his hand away or something. And so it's interesting that you say that that's the age of curiosity, because it literally just sparked my memory of that. But, again, that was a boy. It wasn't, I mean, I don't know. Everyone is different. Every child is different. But the way Gabrielle put it is, you know, she had this giant-sized teddy bear that had a huge pot belly, and she laid on the pot belly and started doing her thing.
So that means she had to be exposed, though. You know, it also comes down to, like, what you are exposed to as a child. So maybe she's seen somebody doing something like that, so she thought that's what you were supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, that can also play in a whole mental kind of game, too. So she probably, I don't know what she was doing when she said that. I know she was trying to be honest as possible and, you know, so authentic and organic as she's promoting her book. But at the same time, it's just like, yo, really? That's something that you can just wait for the people to read, right? Or is she supposed to spill that tea? Like, I'm just wondering, like, look, Anya, is she supposed to spill that tea?
I think she did that on purpose, I'm pretty sure. She wants people to buy the book, and so I think she told just enough to make people either curious to want to actually read the book and read more of her story, or to just turn them off. But the thing that she said in the interview that got people going the most was when she said that it's okay. How can I say this?
Say it. Just go ahead and say it.
It's okay for women to eat a guy's butt, is what she said.
Yo, she said that. She definitely said she eats the booty like groceries, Aya. She said that. She definitely said that.
What were you thinking? Well, when you watched the interview, because I had to watch it back a few times, because that's just me.
You got to analyze it.
she didn't actually say that's what she does. But she said that if a guy is to eat a girl's butt, then it's okay for her to do the same to him. Now, she never said she does that. But in theory, it's like, well, if you think it's okay, then you do that? Like, is that why Dwayne is always happy at the game?
With the little boxer swimming trunks. With the little boxer swimming trunks. That's why his swimming trunks don't go below his knees. Like, what is it? What is the secret? We all want to know.
I mean, that might be the way why he just is doing. Who knows?
I'm with you on that, but come on, no. Anya, no heterosexual grown man is looking to have his buttocks eaten out by any woman,
you know,
in my opinion.
In today's day and age, you never know with these men nowadays.
Really?
Honestly. Well, all I can say is my man would never. And that's all I can speak on. Is my man.
I can't even get it out. The day that my man asks me to eat his butt, like, it's a wrap. It's over. Why are you still in my bed? Get up, get out, and don't ever come back. You're mute. You're blocked off my phone. Like, no, that's not even a conversation. Like, how do you even have that kind of conversation? Like, does he just look back and say it? Or do you just slip up and go below the balls? Like, you know what I'm saying, Anya? Like, how does it happen? Like, why is his butt even propped up in that position for you to be like, yo, open your butt? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Anya, how can you picture that conversation, Anya? Like, give me one prime example how that can even happen while, you know, while you're doing, you know, your thing.
Girl, I don't know.
I'm just like,
I'm not partaking that behavior. But they have said that the guy's G spot is in his butt. That is a proven scientific fact.
Oh,
I don't even know if that's a word.
Oh my God, no. Heck no, Anya, no. And I just can't, I honestly just cannot fathom the idea of, you know, my man just like propping his butt up and looking back like, yo, babe, like, I just cannot even fathom, or I can't even see me, you know, dropping below that sack area, that sliding way. Past, that you know, way. And then, unless, you know, you just got hairy butt cheeks all in your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh.
a like, man. You know
that's
there.
What I'm
now
saying. Like, exactly. That's like 20 yeah, plus years worth of hair in the hairy. Butt. Like, oh, yeah, it's just, oh, no. Off. Just come on, Gab. You playing this, Gabriella. She playing this. I like she did that because she started up some conversation. Now she got all of us about to jump out there, read the book to see if she out there eating the booty like groceries. So that was definitely a great plug. You know where she got that from, though, Anya? Guess where she got that from?
Where'd she get it from?
Your boy Kevin Hart. She got that from your boy Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart put out that whole, you know, I cheated on my wife thing. The next, you know, boom, he got a whole Irresponsible tour coming out 2 weeks later. Now he just
Listen,
booming back
I'm
and forth.
Everybody, that was a mastermind of a publicity stunt.
Man,
I'll tell
what?
You that much.
Man, what he did exactly what he knew he was going to do. Social media, that power of social media is crazy. Do you know how much attention he got off of that? And then, boom, 2 weeks later, he has an entire tour talking about his relationship with his wife and how he cheated, how he was irresponsible, and now he got jokes for days. All right, we about to be in there laughing our ass off at Kevin Hart off of something that he. We just all are just on his back like, yo, Kevin, the worst. He did this. Pregnant wife. Now we about to go laugh at it. Like, how do you, like.
But, I mean, that's what comedians do, though. They have to make fun of themselves. They have to one-up their audience. And so, I don't know. It just made me think, though. Because think about it. That's what he's basing his entire tour on. So imagine if that incident didn't happen. What would be his material then? And that's what makes me think it was a publicity stunt.
He didn't have any material.
And the fact that you had to stoop that low, I don't know. Like, really, Kevin?
He has to, because he wants to be like the reigning champ of, you know, comedian. He wants to do it differently than how, you know, comedy has ever been done before, which he is. Like, he's the only comedian with a Nike shoe deal at the time. You know what I'm saying? At this time.
Right,
so he's
right.
definitely doing things on a whole nother scale, a whole nother level. Yes, I get that. It was publicity, but he didn't have any more content, Aya. Like, if you think about it, he hasn't done a tour in how long? It's about 3 years because he had nothing to talk about, you know? He wasn't going to jump into politics because he wasn't going to mess up his check. He wasn't going to talk about racism because he wasn't going to mess up his check. It's so many different things that he could have talked about that he wasn't going to jump in because Kevin Hart has to appeal to a wide, like a broad audience. You know what I'm saying? So he was covering them coins. Chirai, what you about to say?
So I got some feedback from our Gabrielle question. Sorry, we're backtracking a little bit. But someone said that as a black community, we need to stop being homophobic and so quick to limit a black man's sexuality. And then they also said sexuality is a spectrum and men nor women should be judged for sexual enjoyment as long as it's consensual and healthy. Eat the booty like groceries.
Ew. Who was that? Go ahead and put their Twitter name out there. It's like, nah, I'm playing. You don't got to expose them. But come on, man. Man, we got to go look through their page real quick. Yo, Ayan, why they going to play themselves like that on Twitter? Just know. That's nasty.
But I do think.
I understand where that person is coming from. But for me, I don't know. I have no problem with the LGBT community, right? And part of it is because they're very open about their sexuality. We know their sexuality. It bothers me when a man tries to hide his sexuality. Just be open about it. If that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But don't be breaking girls' hearts if you're really into men, you know?
No, I definitely agree. But then the person also said, granted, my man would swing if I ever tried that on him, but to each his own. So I think she was more so talking about the whole black community because her man isn't down for that. But I definitely agree. We have to stop being homophobic, but I'm not with the.
It's not homophobic, though. I don't think that has anything to do with being homophobic, but I'm not even going to jump back into that because that can go to a whole nother level of conversation. But, yo, Anya, so as we're talking about, you know, Kanye West and his publicity stunt, I'm definitely going to call it that, right? What about how you feel about, let's jump into this Colin Kaepernick situation, yo. One million?
Yes.
Is it about the protest anymore?
So Colin Kaepernick has inked a $1 million book deal And it hasn't been confirmed what the book will be about, but many people are obviously speculating that it's going to be about, you know, how he got his start in the NFL, why he started the National Anthem protest, and sort of the backlash that he's received from it since then. And honestly, you guys, I'm here for what he's trying to do. I'm here for his story. I want to learn more about his story because it's been twisted and turned into so many different things. And he's kept saying repeatedly, it has nothing to do with disrespecting the military, the veterans, or the flag, and it has everything to do with police brutality, but still people are trying to put their own spin on it. And so I think him coming out with this book is his way of saying, no, here the proof is in the pudding. My only thing is, I think in order for him to be truly effective, I wish he would have done a documentary instead or followed the book up with a documentary. I think we need those visuals because there's more people who would tune into a documentary versus people who would go out to Barnes & Noble and read a 300-page book, you know?
Honestly, I've been standing with Cap this entire time, and I'm still standing with Cap when it comes to the protest of the NFL and, you know, the kneeling of the anthem because of the injustice that we face as African Americans every day in America. That is my whole purpose of standing with Colin Kaepernick, right?
Uh-huh.
What is this book about to do? I'm just completely confused. Like, what is this book about to do? How is this book going to help us in the protest? How is this book going to push the protest forward? How is this book going to do anything for us in the injustice that we are still facing in America each and every day, Colin? You know what I'm saying? And I do understand right. You do, you know, want to, you know, expand yourself and expand your brand, and you want to put things out so people can, you know, relate to you a little bit more or feel you a little bit more. Yeah, all that good. But do you really think that this is the time to do that? You still don't have a job. The NFL, people are still protesting the NFL. People are still calling out the NFL each and every Sunday. So what is your book about to do, and what is it definitely about to be about? You know what I mean? Like, I'm listening. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I think it's partially to line his pockets because, like you said, mm-hmm. He doesn't have a job. And so a $1 million book deal, money talks, you know? And so money
bullshit walks.
People set aside their stance and reasoning. If, you know, we don't know what his bank account is looking like right now. He's been blackballed from, you know, an industry where he made a lot of money from. So I don't know if he's looking at it as how he can help the people versus how he can help himself right now.
But, I mean, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I like how you broke that down. But my thing is just like, why? Like, why? I just honestly, truly don't think that this is the time. I don't think that this is what we need. I love how you even said maybe like a documentary. I didn't even think that far into it. But yes, the visuals mm-hmm. of it all, just hearing him actually say it, you know, hearing him actually, you know, talk about the experiences, his eye experiences, his trip to Africa and all of that. That's mm-hmm. cool. But we don't need that in a book right now. You haven't even done, in my opinion, you haven't even done anything truly that was super legendary because we still haven't got any results from it. You know what I mean? You put forth mm-hmm. like how they always say faith without works is dead. Like you put that work in, we put that faith in, and then it just died. You know what I mean? We don't hear mm-hmm. anything from Colin Kaepernick any longer about the situation. We just hear everything that's going on with the NFL. We don't hear about Colin Kaepernick speaking up about the injustice. This man could have started a podcast 50,000 weeks ago talking about the NFL or talking about the injustice situation that he started the whole boycott situation for in the very first place. So it's just like, are you still about this? Are we still standing with you for the right reasons? Or are we just now trying to help you get more money back into your pocket? You know what I mean? Like, have you flipped the roles a little bit? Like, are we now helping you and you're no longer helping us? Like, we put all our energy into you, Colin. Like, where are you? Stand up for us, because we definitely standing up for you. You know what I mean? So that's just where I'm at with it. So I don't know where this book is going to go and how well he's going to do with this book, because it's just like, what's the purpose? Like, what's the purpose? I can't wait till the book's tour starts just to see what he's even talking about. I haven't heard from him since 2016, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I didn't even think that far into it about what you said. So I appreciate that from you, the fact that you're saying, well, we need to question what is the purpose of this and what is it going to do for this protest? And I don't think it will do much for the protest. I don't think it has anything to do with mm-hmm. the actual protest, honestly. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see the results of this book and how it will affect the NFL and the national anthem protest.
Definitely. I cannot wait to see what this is about to do, because it just brings another, just brings like more questions to me in my mind. Like, because once again, we're no longer talking about the injustice that it all started from. Now we're talking about his book. You know what I mean? Now the conversation has moved from the injustice to the NFL to Donald Trump's comments on the NFL to now Colin Kaepernick putting out a book. So are we going to ever go back to the injustice part? You know, whatever happened to...
Well, if you think about it, America has never focused on the injustice because Trump has always made sure that people thought the protest was against the military and against the flag. And so they never saw it as, you know, the African-American community, of course, did. But the people who needed to hear the message the most are hearing the wrong message. And I think that's the root of the problem.
And that's where Colin comes in, right? Like, if he was that person, that's like, you know, Martin Luther King starting a march on Washington, and then he leaves us in North Carolina. What the, like, what? Like, we got all the way this far. We started, you know, in Montgomery, Alabama with you, and you leaving us in North Carolina. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. So that's just how I'm feeling right now. I'm like, yo, Colin, where are you at? It's time to speak up. And then before you speak up, you just drop a $1 million book deal. Like, what? I'm kind of lost.
Right.
I'm kind of lost.
Right.
But I definitely want you to stay with us on the other side of this break, because I do want to get into that next topic. I definitely want to talk to you about that today for the listening audience. Once again, you can give us a call right now, 215-490-9832. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be speaking once again with your girl Anya Lachelle. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You listen when your body says, I'm tired, or I'm hungry. Are you listening? Would you listen if your body said, I have pain and pressure in my abdomen, I feel bloated for no good reason, or I get too full too fast? I'm spotting, but I've already gone through menopause. Or I have to go to the bathroom more often and more urgently than usual. These can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, uterine, vaginal, and vulvar cancers. Symptoms aren't the same for everyone. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen. And if it goes on for 2 or more weeks, see a doctor. It may be nothing, but find out for sure. Learn the symptoms and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
In this hotel room, they have food every day, and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door, let me see the party, let me see, like, them throwing salami all over the, I mean, just like throwing food around, but they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day. I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, we're breaking out the door. And after a year, you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like you hungry, you reached your level, you don't want anymore. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, with Civil Rights Movement. We was asking, you know. Now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
I put my gun away and grab my AK. It's getting hectic. I can't call it. I'm full of alcoholics. Now a nigga's under pressure.
When I was only 6 years old, my mom started smoking. I really didn't like it. When I was 12, I began inhaling.
When I was 23, my mom passed away of lung cancer. Around the same time, I began smoking. Let's just hope my choices only affect me.
When I was young, my dad would smoke everywhere we went. He would smoke in the house, in the car, at his job, and even outside of my school when he would pick me up. And I remember I would beg him to stop, explaining to him how I was worried about his health. And in response, he would always tell me, "Son, your dad's a superhero. Nothing bad will ever happen to me." 15 years later, he was right. Nothing bad ever happened to him. But I was diagnosed with lung cancer after never picking up a cigarette in my life. Choosing to smoke affects everyone, not just you.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Yes, 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 yes. We are back live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. You are tuned in with your girl POC and our special guest today, Anya Lachelle. We're talking about so many different things. We're talking about Gabrielle Union and her masturbation at the age of 5. We were talking about Colin Kaepernick and his book deal that he just signed for $1 million. Yo, Anya, you still on the line with me? How you feeling?
I'm still here.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for staying on the line with us today. Oh, yeah, we got a caller on the line, so I do want to get to this caller really quick before we jump back into our conversation. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Saudi. I'm calling from Lansdowne, PA.
Hey, Saudi, how you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good. I just wanted to join this conversation about Colin Kaepernick and kind of the I just found it, like, super problematic, some of the statements, I think, questioning the integrity with Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, okay.
And signing a book deal. It's been over a year, right, since he took a knee on the football field and stood up for racial injustice and police brutality. And he's been doing that by himself for over a year. You know, it's been a couple of months since athletes decided to join him and to support him. In response to Donald Trump's comments about being violent towards athletes who stand up against racial injustice. But the work that he's done isn't a singular, you know, incident or a singular move that he did to, you know, attract attention or to put society's attention on him. He did something silently and peacefully. Like, he did something kind of polar opposite to a lot of the, you know, Black Lives Matter protests.
He literally just sat silently, didn't want to draw attention to himself, but just said it for his political beliefs. While doing so, you know, as a response to that, the NFL blackballed him, didn't want to pick him up, even though arguably there's a lot of other athletes who are worse than him but are still getting, you know, pulled to teams. He's been completely outed, you know, from the athletic society, and he's caused a large conversation, right? He's led this movement or this reignition of athleticism and political justice colliding. And while, you know, not being signed on to a team, he's also been donating, like, endlessly, specifically to Black women and children. I mean, some of the organizations that he's donated to includes Grassroots Leadership, Helping Oppressed Mothers Endure, Asada's Daughters. Like, you can literally go into Google, type in news, and see, like, a streamline of places that he's put his money into. Without the support, right, without, we can say now we're having a larger conversation about it, but he's not truly getting support. He's not getting athletes coming out and saying, you know what, we're going to sacrifice our paycheck to stand up on racism and police brutality. So this is someone who has completely sacrificed his career, and he's made moves that 99% of, you know, the athletic world aren't comfortable or aren't ready to do, because it's a scary thing, right? It's a scary thing to step out and to be ostracized and to feel alone. But he's done that without anything, you know, any sort of expectation from us, even though he deserves to have that expectation. And I think we're actually the ones who haven't come through for Colin. He sacrificed his career. He's still donating money. If he decides to transition that now into a book for us to obtain a look through, I don't understand why that's problematic. He's donated literally $1 million, if not more, to our community when we haven't stood up for him. So I think we really need to assess being too critical of him and assess what are we sacrificing. Are we willing to be jobless, you know, for a year? Are we willing to sacrifice our career for a year? Are we willing to not see our children for months and, you know, organizing the way the leaders in the 60s did? Like, leaders who literally did not see their children for months because they were so, so deep into the movement. That's not something any of us are even holding, you know, a light to. You know, we're still comfortable living in our natural, normal lives, talking and having political conversations about it, but we're not sacrificing nearly as much. And I think we need to assess ourselves before we point a finger and say, oh, you did a lot, but you still could have gave another 3% more.
I love what you just said, Saudi. I definitely love what you just said. I don't necessarily agree with everything, but I definitely love what you just said. And I love your point about you saying that he donated, you know, millions of dollars to different organizations. But Saudi, at the same time, you have to understand a lot of different, well, and most of these NFL contracts, donations and donations, volunteers, being a volunteer, charity work, all of that is part of their contracts. So 9 times out of 10, they're doing that because they have to, because of the money that they're receiving each and every year, or they're kicking back to these different organizations for different tax cuts because they're making so much money a year. They have to donate or they have to kick it out, their money, so they can, you know, get a tax break at the end of the year. So it sometimes it's strategic, you know, when athletes or, you know, people who make $1 million or more plus a year, when they donate and they put back into these different nonprofits or these different charities. So that's one thing. And then you also have to think about with Colin, he was doing it because of these organizations reached out to him based on how he started. So he started with the whole protest because of the injustice. So everyone was reaching out to him like, yo, we would love to help you. We would love to support you. We would love to do this. We would love to do that. So we seen Colin moving into a direction of, you know, different environments so he can be around the people that he was actually protesting for. So in the midst of him getting around those like-minded people, he started to put out to those like-minded people, and as he should, because he makes more than $1 million a year. Well, he did at one point made more than $1 million a year. So I don't think that, you know, that was something that he just did, and this is just my opinion. I just think that it just so happened that after the protest and after, you know, he was blackballed, he just so happened to be pushed a little bit further into that community that really needed someone like him in that platform that he had in order to, you know, help the people that he was actually trying to help in the first place with the initial start of the protest. But True Heart wanted to jump into the conversation too.
Honestly, I agree with Saudia. I do agree with Saudia in the sense where she posed the question, have we stood up for Colin just like he stood up for us? And I would honestly say no, because we live in a very trendy society. We live in a very microwavable society. So if it's hot right now, we're going to jump on the bandwagon. But in a week or 2 weeks or even a year, we're not even going to be thinking about it. But I honestly think that, yes, it could be a part of contracts, but on 6 in 1 hand, half a dozen on the other hand, I also don't think that he's going to do something that he's not passionate about. I don't think that he's going to give to an organization or give to a group of people that he doesn't sympathize or empathize with. So I think that sometimes it isn't about contracts. It really is about where his heart is and what he's passionate about, because I'm sure there are some things that he does just even in his own personal life that never get documented or never make the media. Granted, he's Colin Kaepernick, but I also think that he can do a lot of other things outside of the media spotlight that doesn't necessarily get highlighted. But I think to scrutinize him for a $1 million book deal isn't acceptable, nor is it right, because as long as he's going to write a book and he's going to talk about the issues in the Black community and continue to be an ally for our community, then I'm not mad at it. Because at the end of the day, President Obama, when he left, he got almost thousands of dollars to speak, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, how dare Obama. So now we're more so, oh my gosh, how dare Colin, when he was just standing for us. So I'm with it.
I mean, I feel you. Saudi, did you have anything else you would like to say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just like, I'm kind of confused on what exactly not to say that we're having a conversation saying we're upset with him, but how I'm trying to understand how we're critiquing someone who has literally sacrificed his career and the money that would come from that career for social justice. Mm-hmm. And then to critique him for now getting this financial opportunity to now examine, and, you know, he's literally creating a book, because none of us have spoken directly to him, right? Like, we get the stories that we get from him. We might get a quote, right, of something that he said within a media article. We don't understand what his voice is, what his position is. We have an idea from the stances that he has taken by taking a knee. So I'm just trying to understand how we're critiquing him for a financial opportunity that has been given to him after him being retaliated against by the NFL and being ostracized. How are we then saying, well, you know what, you lost your job, but we don't, it's great what you did, it sucks you lost your job, but that's kind of sus that now you're about to get money from a book. Like, he's jobless. He's like, I'm just trying to understand why we're okay with the athletes who are continuing to get a check from an association that we know is overtly racist. Mm-hmm. We're okay with athletes not doing the same thing that Colin is doing, continuing to get paid millions of dollars, not speaking out on injustice at all. But we want to critique Colin because he got $1 million for a book where he's going to examine and address, you know, race and social justice.
We hope that he does that. We hope that he does that, Saudia. But before I answer the question that you said, Anya, do you want to jump into this conversation real quick?
Yeah. Thank you, Saudia, for that. I actually love what you just said, and that put a lot of things into perspective for me, because I'm here for his book. But I would love to see a documentary. I think that would just be so impactful. But I agree with Saudia. I think she's absolutely right. I don't think that we should be attacking him or criticizing him, because he's done so much as just one person. Again, like she said, without a lot of support from his celebrity counterparts. And so I agree with her. I think that we should not critique or criticize him for this book deal. I think he deserves a lot more support than what he's getting. Absolutely.
I'm with that too. I'm definitely with that. But I'm kind of going to disagree just a little bit. And I'm sorry to be playing devil's advocate tonight, but yeah, I'm going to disagree a little bit. And for one, I do want to make it clear just a tad bit that I did not criticize him. I more or less questioned him, and I'm still questioning him because I want to know what is going to come out of it. So my question, Saudia, that, you know, might have seemed like it was criticism, was pretty much saying that what is going, and this is also answering your question as well, is like, what is this? What is going to come from this? How is this going to help the protest? How is this going to move the protest along? How is this going to reiterate that we as African Americans are still, you know, feeling the injustice from America each and every day? Like, that is my question. So how it all started and how it all came about, even the conversation of a Colin Kaepernick, because before Colin Kaepernick took that knee, 98% of us didn't even know who Colin Kaepernick was, because, you know, if we don't watch football, we just don't watch football. So it's like, my question is, how is this book going to help finish or restart or revamp whatever you started from the initial beginning? That's my question. That's where the criticism comes in, because I have a lot of questions for him. So just like you laid out, like, hopefully he's going to talk about this in his book and he's going to talk about that in his book. That's still a question mark, because he has yet to put out what he's going to be talking about in this novel. Like, if he's talking about his life and how he grew up as a biracial child and things of that nature, that's not something that people really want to read. I'm not going to say people. That's not something I really want to read. Why? Because I'm my focus on you and my hype for you is because you had, you know, you had the balls literally to stand up to injustice in a, like you said, in a racist environment. So I'm cheering with you. I'm with you. I'm standing for Colin Kaepernick at the point when it comes to the injustice of African Americans each and every day. And that's how Colin Kaepernick even got the start, you know, of being the poster boy for this protest, in my opinion. So I'm not necessarily criticizing him. I'm just questioning the hell out of him, Saudia.
I mean, I think analysis is important, and being able to critique certain things is super important. Like, as a human society, we're not in educational spaces that allow that. So I always encourage, you know, analysis and critiquing and assessing, because that's real, right? I think my thing is, he's put in the work, and now he's trying to give us the words behind it. Like, for too long, we see politicians, we see elected leaders, we see, you know, activists, so-called activists. We see so many people who may put words out there, and they don't back it up with action. So I think for me, I feel like he's done the work, he's done the action, he's continuing to do that. Now, what he's trying to do is give us, you know, insight into who he is, how, you know, whatever that experience looks like. Like, for me, I think about, I did not grow to love Malcolm X the way that I did. Truly, as many movies as I watched, as many videos as I watched, it wasn't until I read the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Yes, I can agree with you on
that one. And I was able to read with him and to travel with him in time and to assess the places and the things that made him who he was. I think this book has the potential to do the same thing for Colin Kaepernick.
That was the plug right there, Saudia. You got me thinking now. I'm like, all right, she made a great point. That was a hell of a point right there, because I can definitely agree with you with that Malcolm X experience. Like, I can watch the movie, I can watch the documentaries, all of that. But once I sat down and actually read the book from cover to cover, it literally changed my whole life. It, like, just put something in me. So I can agree with you on that. So I'm hoping that Colin comes out with something that, you know, will explain the amount of questions that I have, definitely. And I thank you once again, Saudia, for calling and supporting us here on Revive. You got me thinking now, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Spread the word. Once again, we're live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. And I hope you have a great night, Saudia.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Nothing
below. No doubt. Yo, Saudia, you know what? When the book drops, just know I'm going to be looking for an article or a blog real soon talking about it. Just know I'm hitting you up. I'm like, Saudia, where your piece is at, man? You got me?
I got you.
Bet. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Yes, Anya, I appreciate you for bringing up that topic, man. You stirred up some conversation. I appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that. Would you call that a quick sip? Like, what would you give that kind of, you know, topic? What kind of title would you give that topic?
Yeah, so that one is definitely the angle that we dove into it, that's definitely a quick sip, because there's nothing shady, at least in my opinion, about him getting a book deal.
Awesome. I wanted to see, now you're helping me understand how you break it down when you do your YouTube. Now I understand the difference between the two. Definitely. But Aya, before we jump into the next topic, I do want you to give yourself a shout out so the people know exactly who we're talking to, how they can find you on social media right now, your website, your YouTube channel, all that. Go ahead and give yourself a shout out.
Yeah, so I'm at Aya Michelle on everything, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. I'll spell it out for y'all because I know y'all probably thinking, how do you spell that? It's AunyaLachelle. And same with my YouTube. It's youtube.com/AnyaLachelle.
Yes. Make sure you guys go subscribe to that YouTube channel right now. Go click that red button. Subscribe right now. Anya, have you experienced a YouTube check yet? Like, have you experienced, you know, you get so many likes or so many different subscribers that you can get that YouTube check? Have you got one yet? Not to be in your business. I'm sorry.
The last time I checked my ad account or whatever it's called, this was months ago, the last time I checked it, I think I had like 71 cents.
That's so something.
I've just come to the conclusion that I've seen videos on this a lot and read articles. In order to get like the big checks from YouTube, you got to have the big subscribers, like millions. You have to be in the millions for subscribers and millions in your views. Because again, you get your money based on who clicks those ads. Mm. So you can have people watch it, but if they're not clicking it, you're not getting anything.
So, like, if, like, a Starbucks commercial come through while I'm watching your YouTube, you would get paid if I click that Starbucks commercial?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that people try to strive for that? Do you think that, you know, in today's society, us as millennials, do you think, like, that is some people's goal, is to get on YouTube and try to go get that check like it's going to happen overnight?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And I think that's so sad that people think that way. Because there's so many people that I either know of who equate YouTube to, you know, a lot of money, like a quick way to get rich or something like that. And it's not. And I've never looked at my YouTube channel that way. I remember I didn't even sign up for the ad account when I first started my channel because I was looking at it as, well, who's going to sit and watch my video if they have to watch an ad first when they don't know who I am? Like, I just want them to just watch my video and fall in love with the content. And so and it took other people convincing me to start putting ads on my videos because I didn't want to do it at first. I don't know. I've never thought about the money. I've always said I'd rather be happy and broke than rich and miserable.
Talk about it.
Talk about it.
I say I'm rich broke. Like, I'd be like, I'm just be out here perpetrating like I'm rich broke. Like, I'm still having fun, but trust me, I'm very broke. Yes, indeed. Yo, so do you think that the whole, like, we're talking about, you know, the YouTube famous and people jumping on YouTube to get those checks. What about social media? I consider YouTube to be a social media. Is YouTube, do you think YouTube is a social media, or do you think that's like a social network?
Is amongst the other social media that's out there, absolutely, because there's an engagement factor to it with the comment section. You can comment on videos
and interact with people,
so it's definitely considered social media.
Tough. You just broke that down for me. I didn't think about it. Yes, that is definitely a social media because you can comment on people and you can share it. You can like, share, mm-hmm. and comment. Makes sense. Definitely makes a lot of sense. So, but do you think that the social media famous thing for our generation is like super watered down, or do you think people should still be, you know, striving for that social media famous thing? Because, like, look at Cardi B. She just took all the way off. You know what I'm saying? So, like, do you think that people in our generation should still strive for, you know, social media famous?
You see, the interesting thing about that is people will look at Cardi B and be like, oh, wow, she did it. I can do it, too. But they're also forgetting, like, that's one in a million. You know how, and there's tons of people who are internet famous or Instagram famous, but the sad thing is that all they'll probably ever be because they're not looking beyond that. And with Cardi B, I think a major part of her success was that she was looking beyond being Instagram famous. And she never gave up. And she, you know, she found a way to get on TV, and then from there she found a way to get a record deal, and she's just been on the up and up ever since. And so I think the thing that hinders our generation specifically is that they're not looking beyond the Instagram likes and the Instagram followers. I mean, it's gotten to a point where there's people who literally followers on Instagram, and you can tell they bought their followers because their engagement doesn't match. Their likes and their views don't match how many followers they had.
See, you're an analyst.
Instagram page.
That's, you're an analyst on that. I never even put those two and two together. Like, they got 12 likes, but they got 1 million followers. I never thought about it like that. Especially Instagram. Instagram will, every time you post something, do you want to upgrade? So they be on it. Definitely. I feel like social media, the companies itself, you know, makes you want to be social media famous or makes you want to have 1,000 likes because it's so easy now. You pay $5,000. I mean, you pay $5, you get 5,000 followers. You know what I mean? So I think that also can go to a person's head quick, easy, and very, very fast. But Anya, I do want to play a quick game with you. 21 questions. And we probably not going to get to 21, but I do want to play a quick game with you, right? Because I want the people to know exactly who they talking to. When they click on that YouTube channel, they're getting a personable person. They're getting a funny, engaging kind of person. You with it?
I hope I can answer these questions, right?
All right. In one word, what is the perfect relationship?
Wow.
One word. You can't say wow. That ain't, you can't say that.
I know. It's so hard. One word. Man, supportive.
Ooh, spicy. Yes. Where do you want to live?
L.A.
You said LA earlier. Where you want to live other than LA? Because you already put that information out there. Where do you want to live other than LA? Because I see you getting about 5 cribs.
Wrap up my side crib. I definitely would love a vacation home. On an island somewhere.
Which one? You gotta pick one.
Up on my island, girl.
You gotta pick some, Aya. You gotta let the people know where you trying to live. The side crib. What a side crib for the side joint.
Okay, so I will say, I'll say the Bahamas because that was my only time out of the country. That's the only place I've been so far out of the country, and I loved it. So Bahamas.
Aya, we need to be going to Barbados. Did you see Rihanna lately? She jumping out. I'm like, yo, where the hell did she get that body from? Did you see the picture?
That's why I can't go to Barbados yet. I don't have that body yet. I'm working on it.
Definitely. Who is the closest person to you?
Oh, my mom.
What was the weirdest dream you ever had?
Oh, come on. You know I don't remember my dreams.
What's the weirdest dream you ever had? Come on, Aya. What's the weirdest dream you ever had?
Is a hard one. Mm-hmm. People need to know something about me is that I have the worst memory in the world. Like, I don't even remember what I had for breakfast, and you want me to remember my dreams?
All right, we're going to go to the next one. That's a good one, but we're going to go to the next one. Who motivates you?
Gotta be just one person?
Yes, one person.
I already said my mom, so my boyfriend.
Okay. The last time you broke up with your ex, who dumped who?
So I can't answer this question because I've only been in one relationship, and it's the relationship that I'm currently in, 5 years strong.
So we not, let's knock on wood real quick. Let's go ahead and knock on wood. Definitely. What makes you insecure?
Wow. Being a girl.
Whoa, you got to explain that one. I'm sorry, Anya. I'm not going to let you get away with that one. You got to explain that one. Why does being a girl make you insecure?
Because we get judged so easily. We get judged more than guys do. For everything. Things that guys can get away with, we can't. Even when it comes down to something like body count, for example. Prime example, you know, guys will get high fives for smashing a whole bunch of girls, and girls will get, you know, pointed the finger at. It's hard being a girl, period.
In general. Especially for 7 days out the month, right? Like, yo, really, why me? Why me, Lord? Why me? Definitely. If you had to choose boat or plane.
I didn't hear you. What you saying?
If you had to choose, you're picking the boat or you're picking a plane?
I'm picking the plane because I can't swim.
I'm with you on that. If you was trying to have a one-night stand, where would you have a one-night stand at?
Where?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by where? Like,
where is it? Where are you going to have a one-night stand? You taking them? I don't know. Where are they taking you or where are you taking them? Where would you want to have your first one-night stand at?
It's getting real raunchy in the studio.
In
real
hotel
raunchy.
Room.
Hotel. I'm with you on. My bad. She gonna say a hotel room. True. Are you telling your secrets?
No.
Aya said that.
Yes. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the game right there. Thank you, Aya, for playing the game with us today. We just wanted the people to get to know you just a little bit more. I appreciate you for supporting us.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. It was so much fun, and you guys have definitely gained a big fan. I am so glad that I got to be on the show and just listen to just how you guys do your thing. You say I'm inspiring. I think you ladies are inspiring. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep grinding and shining, and I will be tuned in every Wednesday.
Thank you. I'm with you on that one, Aya. But you know who did not show up? Your boy Chris Brown. Why your boy Chris Brown not showing up to the interviews, Aya? What they saying he might just be on a little narcotics. He might just be on drugs. What you thinking, Aya? I got to throw that in there real quick before I let you go. I want you to get into this little Chris Brown story that, you know, that's coming up and about because he didn't show up to the Breakfast Club interview.
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, I was rooting for Chris. I really was rooting for him. But I do think he has lost his way. He definitely is on some things. I think he should definitely seek out help. I was actually watching his interview with Nessa on air, and you could just tell he was gone. Like, eyes low, his voice, the way he was acting. Your boy needs some help. So I'm praying for him. I think Charlamagne was absolutely right in his accusations against Chris, and I feel bad for him.
Yo, first off, I want to talk about this hairstyle he got going on. This man has a new hairstyle. He changes weaves more. I'm trying to tell you, he changes weaves more than a lace front. I'm trying to tell you. I'm like, yo, like, this man got plaits, or like, he got the kid in play, or the what is he doing?
He took it back.
He took it all the way back. I'm like, yo, what is going on over here? But yes, I do think something is wrong with him. I definitely think something's wrong with him. I'm not sure, because remember at one point he was talking about the whole cigarette thing, and then he doesn't do cigarettes anymore, but he did mention, he was like, yeah, I do smoke marijuana. Do you think marijuana could be like he just had like a bad trip or something in that interview?
No, that was more than marijuana. There's people who could smoke marijuana and drive and go to work and be just fine. I don't think
that is true.
And as long as he's been doing it, you'd think he'd be able to control himself. He was on more than marijuana. Mm-mm.
That is true, man. I hope he gets it together. Definitely, I hope he gets it together. Thank you, Aya, once again for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us here today. But before we let you go, I definitely want you to give yourself another shout out. Go ahead and plug yourself in so you can get that subscribe button. Click right now. Go ahead and click that subscribe button.
Yes, and click that notification button so you guys can get notified when I post new videos.
Yes, yes.
I post new videos every Wednesday and Sunday. Again, you can find me youtube.com/AnyaLachelle. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat at Anya Lachelle, AnyaLachelle. And thank you, ladies, for having me. I had a lot of fun.
No doubt. I had a lot of fun with you today, too, as well. We'll be speaking with you very shortly, Anya. I love what you're doing, and continue doing what you're doing. I wish you many, many blessings in your future endeavors.
Oh, thank you so much. You, too. I really appreciate that.
No doubt. Have a great week.
You too.
Yeah, so that wraps up another great interview here on Revive with your girl, Anya Lachelle. Make sure you guys go ahead and click that subscribe button right now. Go ahead and do that. Yo, Truar, that was a good one, man. I really like that. That was definitely a good one. It added some great content to the show. I want to hear what you guys are thinking right now, all the different topics that me and Anya was just speaking on. Once again, our number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Or you can hit us up on all social sites at Revive_POC. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on your airwaves each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tune in right now. You can definitely catch Revive each and every Sunday on timeforanawakening.com/Revive each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you know we go live on DG Radio each and every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys tune in. Yo, Revive is growing each and every day. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break with your girl, POC.
Everyone is sorry. Everyone says, I won't do it again. Bottom line, drinking under the age of 21 is illegal. Drinking and driving is illegal. It's the law. There are consequences. The consequences of driving under the influence are huge. You will do community service, lose your driver's license, get arrested, do jail time. If you get arrested for DUI, the costs to defend yourself are very expensive. Your parents can be forced to pay for lawsuits, legal fees, and damage to people or property. DUI can also ruin your chances to get into college or get a good job. The law doesn't stop at drinking and driving. If you're underage, there are consequences for buying alcohol with a fake ID, for being in possession of alcohol, and for any consumption of alcohol. Think twice. Don't drink. Don't drink and drive. Speak up.
Think, a fast food PSA. Fast food, it's everywhere. When you turn on the TV, you see an ad for a Big Mac. You are driving on the freeway and see a sign for the closest Burger King. Like it or not, fast food is all around us. More than two-thirds of the adults in the United States, 219 million people, are obese or overweight, and I have a lot to do with the food they eat. Soda companies market their food as diet, but how can they be diet if they're just using artificial sweeteners instead of natural sugar? Why do we buy protein bars even though they have the same or more sugar as a candy bar and just more protein? Why do we buy chicken nuggets when in reality they have tons of added salt, MSG, oil, and fillers? These are all good questions, but think before you dive into that layer hamburger. Or chicken nuggets, or any other fast food, junk food. Think about what is actually in it, how the animals you are eating are being treated, and think about how putting this food in your body will affect your health. Every time you eat fast food, you're supporting all these things. Understand what fast food is, and do what you think is right. Think.
It's your girl POC, hey! It's your girl POC, hey!
Yes, 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 yes. We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's a winning Wednesday here on Revive. So I want to know what you guys are thinking. Make sure you guys hit us up. Once again, I'm going to be putting this number in your ear each and every time we go on these airways, because I want to know what you guys are thinking. I want to hear your perspectives every time we get on the airways with your girl POC. The telephone number, once again, is 215-490-9832. Once again, that is 215-490-9832. Or you can go directly to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and give us a shout out at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC. But I do want to pay my respects today to Robert Gilliam, a great actor. We lost a really great actor today. He died at the age of 89 years young from prostate cancer. Yo, this is really something that is like an epidemic when it comes to African-American males. I actually asked my uncle that a couple, maybe like a month back or something. I was like, when was the last time you got your prostate checked? And he honestly told me he never got his prostate checked. And he's over the age of 50 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, picture how many African-American males really don't get their prostate checked. Or people don't even pretty much know what prostate is, or prostate cancer is, or how prostate cancer can be avoided, or, you know, things of that nature. Yo, we had an entire show about that. We literally had an entire show about how, you know, men's health and the awareness of men's health, and how men do not take care of their bodies as much as they should. And I'm not saying, you know, Mr. Gilliam did not do that, but the fact that he passed away from prostate cancer is just like super eye-opening to me, like just really, really eye-opening to me. So definitely I want to pay my respects to him and his family, sending my prayers to his family as well. I remember him mostly from the movie Lean On, and he also played he was the voice of Rafiki. Lean On Me, I'm sorry. Rafiki? Rafiki. I just know it was from Lion King. I don't remember the exact name, but Rafiki. I thought, what'd I say? Dashiki? No. Rafiki, yeah, in the Lion King. So that's what I mainly remember him from, is Lean On Me and him being in the Lion King, the voiceover in the Lion King. Do you remember him at all, True Heart?
I did. As soon as I saw his face, I was just like, oh my gosh. But Rafiki, he definitely played on The Lion King. And he also made appearances on Sanford and Son and The Jeffersons, too. So he was very well renowned in Hollywood. He was an Emmy Award winner, for goodness sake. So rest in peace to him. May he rest in power. And he will definitely never, ever be forgotten.
Shout out. Yes, definitely, definitely. So definitely respects to his family. But yo, I want to jump into while we still got a little bit of time left here on Revive, I want to jump into this American Airlines story. Like, it's buzzing. It's buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. Because you know, when the NAACP get involved in anything, every black person needs to know what's going on. So the NAACP put out a statement today regarding American Airlines, like just simply saying, no, do not ride with them. American Airlines is trash. Well, they didn't even say trash, but I'm going to ad lib and say they said American Airlines was trash, and just pretty much saying, don't support them. Do not put your black dollars into that business at all. True Heart, go ahead and read a little bit about the article.
So the National Association for Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP.
Get it right, get it right. Everybody gonna call you out on it. Make sure you get it right.
I'm sorry, I got a little tongue-tied, y'all. But the NAACP recently issued a travel advisory warning African-Americans against flying American Airlines. Basically, they have gotten several reports about discriminatory, unsafe, and disrespectful conditions. And they had so many different examples of people just complaining and really just voicing their concerns about different things that they've experienced on American Airlines. And now you have to know that it's real if they've released a travel advisory. There's so many different airlines. There's so many different planes and services that you can use. However, just like POC said, when the NAACP gets involved, that's how you know it's real. But honestly, as a traveler, as a consumer, you want to go with the cheaper flight, or you want to go with the best service, or you want to go with the most reliable airline. However, you do not sign up to be dragged. You do not sign up to be disrespected. You do not sign up to be discriminated against. And I do think that American Airlines is going to wake them up. This is going to wake them up, and hopefully they will be able to address it and correct it and not really lose African-American dollars, because at the end of the day, believe it or not, we do travel. We do use the airline often, but nobody deserves to be treated any kind of way when at the end of the day, you just want to get to your destination safe and sound.
Yo, American is trash. American Airlines is trash. I don't care what they say, what kind of statement they put out. American Airlines is trash. And they put out a statement too. Before I get my opinion, I want to know what they said, Truro. Can you read a little bit into that as well?
Yes. So the president, Doug Parker, actually, he's the CEO of American Airlines. They actually responded very quickly to the NAACP Black.
As they should. They was about to lose that bread. So, of course, they definitely going to respond to this one.
Definitely. And so basically what happened, they told the NAACP that they're disappointed to learn that a travel advisory has been issued to the NAACP regarding American Airlines. The mission statement of the NAACP, so they went on and they quoted the mission statement, and they really just wanted people to know that American Airlines will not and they do not tolerate discrimination. So there's a lot more that he said. I'm sure the publicists are working really, really hard to get something out there. But, and for those of you who do not know, United Airlines and American Airlines are the same. So don't say you're not going to support American, but then you go get on a United. They are the same airline. And honestly, truly, I think that they just have more work to do. But this at least puts fire under their behinds. This puts fire under their behinds so that you're going to provide better customer service. You're not going to treat people any kind of way, because people are spending their money and people work hard for their money. And at the end of the day, just like I said before, the goal is to get there safely. Don't subject me to any type of brutality or any type of disrespect if I'm just trying to get on the plane, be comfortable, and get to my destination. So American Airlines, United, get it together. Doug Parker, you are an elderly white man, so I need somebody else from your PR team to jump out there and really just make it happen. American, get it together. Because once the NAACP say something, we standing.
Man, I'm not standing with the NAACP always either. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes my views on them can definitely get a little swayed. But yes, Doug Parker, please take several seats next to Omarosa, please. Right there, front row, right there. Yep. And I know you see Ben Carson to the left, but go ahead to the right just a tad bit more. Definitely no. So yes, American Airlines are trash. American Airlines is trash, 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 trash. I had two experiences with them myself, and it was just like, yo, this is literally the worst flight. I have had one of the best flights of my life on what everyone called a soul plane. Shout out to Spirit Airlines, yo. I really have had one of the best flights of my life on Spirit. I had a discrepancy prior to me getting on the plane. And when I got on the plane, Spirit says, you know what, due to the incident that happened and occurred outside of the plane, we're going to take care of you on the plane. When I tell you, I had open bar for everything, far as snacks, drinks, like everything. You get a snack, you get a shot. Everybody on the plane was enjoying me because I was making sure that everyone ate off of their airline. Trust me when I tell you. But when it came to American, no. I had complaints after complaints after complaint. I even called. They did not care. They sent me to another pool where they was just like, it was just like another pool of complaints. I really feel like they just transferred me to a line of people who just complain, like, yo, okay, let me get you to the right complaint department. Pretty much that's what it was. It was a complaint. You go into a pool, they send you an email following up, and then that's the end of your complaint. They don't do anything to satisfy or bring any solutions to that situation that happened on their airlines. They never bring any solutions. I almost got kicked off of my, yo, if it wasn't for Tab Money, I would have never made it to Jamaica this year. I promise you. I almost got kicked off of American Airlines flight because they're trying to say that my bag was too large. Yo, my bag fit in the, fit in. Thank you. I appreciate it. It did. Okay. You're right. All right. Thank you for the correction. My bad. It didn't fit in the little, I can't even explain it. You know how they get a little display where you got to sit your bag. My bag did fit there. Right. So by my bag fitting there, but the thing was, I had like a strap over bag, which was because I am a female, and every female carries a little purse that goes over them for their little selective items that they need on a plane, just in case if anything happens. And yo, they were trying to tell me like, oh, you got to get off the plane, or you got to check check one of those bags. I had a book bag and I had a shoulder bag for my personal feminine items. And they were literally trying to kick me off the plane for that. Like, you're going to kick me off the plane. You're not even going to give me an option. Like, you're not going to give me any options right now. Like, it was just honestly, and the plane wasn't even full. So it was so much space for me to put my bag. My small bag could have went under my seat and my book bag could have went over top of my head. But they was not seeing that. They was just straight like, yo, you got to get off the plane. You got to get off the plane. Like I felt like the guy who was dragged off the Delta Airlines just smooth like, yo, you got to get off.
That's crazy. And that's really unfortunate. I'm sorry that you had to endure that. But my question, so since you have had terrible experiences on American, do you agree with the travel advisory that the NAACP issued?
Yes. Like, I'm never flying American again. Well, I lied, because that happened in March. So I flew American when I went to LA. So that was the last time ever flying American. And I had a problem with, that was my second experience. And you was, yes, yo, at no. So when I got to American Airlines in LA, my bag didn't switch over, yo. So I had a layover. I had a layover and my bag got lost. They didn't comp me for that. They didn't comp me for any time. I literally was sitting in the airport an extra 2 hours waiting on my bag where I had so many other places to be. They didn't even have like special delivery where they would deliver it to my hotel, bro. They was just like, no, you gotta wait. If you want your bag, you gotta wait. Like, these are the experiences that I had with that airline. So, yes, no, Doug Parker, please take several seats. Like, I'm no longer supporting you. Thank you for the NAACP for finally speaking out about this, because this has been going on for a long time. And it's not just American Airlines. African Americans, Black people experience discrimination on airlines all the time. All the time. People make you get up, you know, from your seat that you purchased. You know, this is like a business. Like, people make you get up. People make you take the next flight. People tell you, oh, you can't get on with X, Y, and Z because there's no space, which is a lie. I get on this plane right now, it's about 10 empty seats in the back. Oh, we have, oh, yo, one thing that really, really super irritates me is when they have to fly one of their employees somewhere and someone has to get off the plane when one of their employees has to get to another city in order to accommodate the airline. We have to be, you know, we have to get off the plane. So we have to be unaccommodated because they have to accommodate their airline, their business. That's one thing that really bothers me. And that's one thing that happened when the guy was trying to do get on the Delta flight. He was pretty much kicked off because they had to get one of their employees on the plane. How fair is that?
That's wild. That's not fair at all. But now that you brought that up, when I do travel in the next few months or so, I'm going to be very cognizant of how I'm treated. And I wish somebody would tell me to get up. My money's green, their money's green, and we both paid this money. But in the event that an airline personnel has to get somewhere, well, we can share. We can put the little armrest up and you can move over a little bit. I move over. We all gonna get to our destination safe and sound.
You playing, Tomo, put that, no. I need my seatbelts. One seatbelt, click, pull. I need my little drop down, little mask. It's only one per person. So if anything happen, who you think about to get that? He know how to put the mask on faster than you, Drew. Like, you not about to grab that mask.
Help me. I don't pay attention to the same. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be paying attention. Sometimes they got the little tutorials. I'll be listening. Cause you never
only know. American got the video, though. American got a video. American don't do the people in the aisle with the arms and stuff. American got a whole video.
But to be honest, neither does Spirit. And Spirit charges you for everything. I asked for water. They said $3. I said, excuse me? So honestly, truly, there needs to be a black airline. Because, look, they talk about Soul Plane. There'll be original Soul Plane.
I'm with it. Definitely. I do think that there should definitely be a black owned airline. And if there is, please correct me because I'm not familiar with that. But we are about to wrap up here on Revive. Definitely about to wrap up another show. It was a great interview today with your girl, Anya Lachelle. Shout out to her. Make sure you guys go follow her on all social media sites as well. Go subscribe to her YouTube channel right now. It's me, your girl, POC. I am not going to be live this Sunday. Once again, I'm not going to be live this Sunday. I am going home. I'm going hiking once again with my family. It's about to be family day, man. I cannot wait to see my family. I'm excited to do that once again this weekend. So once again, we will not be live this Sunday at 11 a.m. on Revive, but we will still be playing a pre-recorded episode for you guys to check out this Sunday starting at 11 a.m. So you still can click that link in my bio. You can go to Tune In as well. Just search the website or go directly to the app. You can download the app and just search timeforanawakening.com. You will hear me, your girl POC, with a pre-recorded episode, but I will be live on DG Radio this Monday coming up. We have a great interview lined up for you guys this Monday. You can definitely click the link in my bio. Shout out to your girl Tyler Vigna. Each and every Monday she coming through with What the Fact. And we got your girl Tab Money on next week with Tab Money Habits. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We got a jam-packed week coming up in Revive. We're gonna finish the month of October strong. What are you guys gonna do to finish the month of October strong? We're going into November, the 11th month of the year. You have 1 week left to finish the 10th month strong. So what are you gonna do before we jump into that 11th month, man? Think about it. All you guys woke up on January 1st and said, 2017 is my year. The year is coming to an end. I want to know what you guys are doing and what you guys have done this year to tell us that this is your year, to show us this is your year, to prove that this is your year. You can give me a call each and every Wednesday and Sunday at 215-490-9832. And you can give me a call each and every Monday on DG Radio, 215-909-9925. Once again, it's Meet Your Girl POC coming live each and every Wednesday, Sunday, and Monday. And make sure you guys follow us on Revive_POC on all three sites, social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's your girl POC. I'll be back on Monday. DG Radio. Go click that link. You know what time it is.